boys ready for this? Howdy, folks, let's gather around for the best sports talk in town. We got our hosts, Darren, Tim, and Chris. Baby, can't get better than this. Give out all the power rankings. Laugh at all the teams tanking. A lot of fun, a lot of surprise. Let's give it up for the guys in this league.
Yee-haw!
Didn't like how that smelled over there, huh?
Word to your mother. Yeah, I'm just smelling the pits over here. Don't mind me. Word to your mother, and welcome into yet another episode of the This League Fantasy Football Podcast. It is episode 80 on September the 1st, 2024. September means football. Gentlemen, we've made it. No more months to wait.
I am so excited.
It's a beautiful sight. It's a beautiful sight. I am your hostess with the mostest, Chris Mitchum, owner of Team Fairlife. With me, as always, in person today, Aaron Hunt, the manager of Let Russ Microwave.
What is happening, people? Excited for another pod episode.
And over the Zooms, because he has adult responsibilities, we have manager of Close But No Jamar, Tim Rader.
How's everybody doing? Sorry, I can't be there in person.
It's all love. It's all love. The show will not falter because, as always, we have a packed show for you today. We are revisiting the rookie draft. It was a beautiful time at Chatham Tap. Private room, had the draft up on the screens, had some delicious wings. The boys were bantering.
Shout out to your contact that got us the room. What was his name again?
Shout out Brett Glaze, baby.
Brett Glaze. You're out what there, a name.
Ale Emporium. That's right. Chatham Tap.
Oh, did I say Chatham Tap? My bad.
Hey, that's
all right. My biases are coming out. I'm sorry. Yes, Ale Emporium. It was great. Shout out Brett Glaze. If those Google AI machines are working, maybe they'll pick up his name and alert him.
Go give him a visit.
That we're chatting, for real. Ale Emporium, it's great up in Castleton. It's awesome. But we are going to revisit that, the shocks, the non-shocks, and everything in between. And then we have your first preseason power rankings of the year. Where are we ranking all of the teams heading into week one? And then we have a full season this league guarantee. Man, I don't even know. There it is. It's been a while since I've hit that button. A guarantee for you coming your way. And then we have our official NFL and this league predictions on the show. You can call it the prediction show. You can call it the rookie review show. Call it whatever you want. But just don't call it bad. The drinks of the week. Aaron, we'll start with you. What are we sipping on?
Well, courtesy to my man Chris Mitchum over there, hook me up with some St. Elmo's Cola with a nice big rock in it as well. A little cherry on top. Sipping it smooth right here.
Do it the best we can in the Mitchum household. Tim, what are we drinking over there?
We're rocking back-to-back episodes Yingling Light, baby. Keep it classy.
I like it. That is classy. I am drinking the old reliable Miller Lite Luke Combs edition.
Long neck ice cold beer never broke my heart.
That's like the only country song I know in the last like 5 years.
It's a good one.
But it's a banger. Man, I assume he's drinking Miller Lights when he's doing that song. Mm.
That was a good one.
Delightful. Delightful. All right, boys. Pull up your rookie draft boards. Let's take a trip down memory lane, and let's break down some rookie picks, shall we? Nice. We had the rookie draft, what was it, like 3 weeks ago now, probably?
Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. Roughly 3 weeks ago. So take all of the rookie hype news you've heard since then, you know, such as Kyren being a punt returner or something along those lines of maybe a rookie getting more juice compared to 3 weeks ago. We were drafting with the mindset of about 3 weeks ago. What we're going to do here is we are going to go pick by pick in the first round, give you guys our thoughts, and then we've each picked significant picks from the second and third round, and when we wrap that up, we will give our overall winners and losers, a winner and loser from each host. Gentlemen, shall we dive in?
Let's go.
Win.
All right, your order, and I guess we will have some trades in here as well, so feel free to stop me, guys, if I forget one. But your order originally in the draft was Zach, Steven, Don, Clayton, Don, Steven, Stretch.
Yep.
Sorry, Zach, and then Clayton. So like I said, as we go through it, we will mention the draft, the picks as we go, or the trades as we go. Your 101, to nobody's surprise, to Zachary Welch and Breece Lightning. was Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. No surprise there. And if you do recall, he would not have that pick if he didn't do the ballsy trade, man. The one for one. Steven had the two. He had the one. He won that game to win Marvin Harrison Jr. Obvious pick there, right, Aaron?
Oh, very obvious. And shout out to Zach for making that move. He was locked in on getting MHJ on his team, and he succeeded.
There we go. Are we thinking top 10 wide receiver his first year? Is that an expectation?
No. I think if you're Zach, if he can be top 15, I think you'll take that. Top 20 would be a little disappointing, but I don't see him finishing lower than top 20, in my opinion.
Tim, you feel that as well?
15 was my line. I feel like he's going to land somewhere around 15.
Which is why in redraft, I think he's going as like the wide receiver 8 or 9 right now, and that gives me a lot of anxiety. But yeah, the obvious 101 in rookie drafts. Your second pick went to Steven, and it was Mr. Malik Nabers, the wide receiver for the New York Giants. Tim, same question to you. That's kind of the obvious pick there, right?
Yeah, definite obvious pick. Number 2 in the rookie draft. I think I spoiled last week my opinion. You know, just a shame that he's going to get Daniel Dimes.
Danny Dimes. Danny
Dimes. But he's electric. Love it for him.
Yeah, I will say I actually had like Marvin Harrison in his own tier, Malik Nabers in his own tier, and then probably honestly Odunze in his own tier, and then probably three or four guys in the next tier. I think he is quite better than Odunze personally, but I don't think he's quite at the MHJ level. Am I crazy for thinking that?
I think they're a little bit different of types of receivers. MHJ is maybe more of a possession guy. Malik Nabers can take the top off the defense. So higher ceiling probably goes to Nabers just because who else are you going to throw to in New York? I don't even know their second receiver like off the top of my head. So
Wandale Robinson.
Yeah. So yeah, just a matter of like difference of style of play in my opinion.
Who is the wide receiver too in New York?
Probably Darius Slayton.
Darius Slayton.
I feel like Slayton's been like around the league and cut.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it might be Wandale. It literally
could be Wandale.
Wandale Robinson.
Oh man, that tells you right there that Malik Nabers wouldn't be surprised if he does finish top 15 either. I would not be shocked because who else you got? And let's go on to the next pick. And ladies and gentlemen, we had our first trade of the draft, and it was between Mr. Steven, who had the 3rd overall pick, and Mr. Tim Rader, owner of Close But No Jamar. Tim gets the 103, and what did he have to give up, Tim? I'm hoping you have the trade pulled up, because I don't.
I gave away Mr. Jonathan Taylor for the 103 this year in a future 3rd or future 2nd, something like that. I think it was future 3rd.
So you got Jonathan Taylor for 103 plus, huh? Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. Maybe we'll do a little retroactive trade ring here one day, but for time's sake, we won't do that. So that is correct. Tim gave away Jonathan Taylor and a 3rd round pick to get the 103, and Tim selects who?
Rome Odunze.
Big Rome Odunze goes 103. Probably, obviously, another obvious pick, I would say. But I think he has to go there. I like his talent as well. Have you guys watched Hard Knocks this year?
I haven't personally.
Nah, have not actually.
He looks great on Hard Knocks. I'm just saying.
Love to hear.
I feel like every clip is him throwing to Rome Odunze and not DJ Moore, which kind of pisses me off, but
it is what it is.
The rookie-to-rookie connection. I think that's a thing. I think that's an honest thing. Tim, are you happy with the value you got there for Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah, I am. I was shopping him a little bit this offseason, always looking to be a year early on a running back than a year late while they still have top value, and didn't think I'd have a chance at getting one of the 3 studs in this year's draft. I think I agree with you, your tiers of Marvin Harrison, Nabers, and then Odunze, and just to be able to sneak in there and get one of the top 3, I think has some good long-term value for my team.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Harrison, Nabers, Odunze go 1, 2, 3. I think that is to be expected. In my opinion, we had the first kind of eyebrow raise pick of the draft. Don and Team Njigbas in Paris was up at 104. And the pick there is Mr. Jonathan Brooks, running back for the Carolina Panthers. Aaron, were you as shocked as I were about this pick?
I really wasn't that shocked. I feel like I was pretty high on Jonathan Brooks, just looking at his film and just his talent and the situation in Carolina. Yeah, you don't love the offensive line talent that they have, but he's going to be that guy. He's going to be a three-down back. Miles Sanders, as we all well know and are aware of, is trash and washed up, and there's really not a lot outside of Chuba Hubbard as well in that backfield. So I'm not as shocked, and especially just how scarce running backs are. I mean, he was the best in the class.
And I think it makes sense for his team. I mean, his current running back starters, obviously with Jonathan Brooks being out to, I think, week four or five probably, are Tony Pollard and Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, are not, his current not great
starting running back. So he's at Olave and Ayuk and McLaurin at the receiver. You'll see also he took another wide receiver here in the first round. So while I think it's early objectively just for like preseason ranks, I think it made sense, especially considering he picks two picks later, you know, grab the best running back available and then kind of fill out the rest of the way. So Jonathan Brooks goes 1-4 to Njigba's in Paris. Up next, we have Clayton at the 105. Now, this was interesting because my thought was this player was going to go at 104. Because again, it's kind of chalk. You have arguably, I feel like we've said this like the past 2 years, but you have arguably the best tight end prospect to come out in a long time. At the 105, Mr. Brock Bowers goes to Clayton and the Red Rocket. And I think Clayton definitely went best player available here because Clayton already have one Trey McBride. He has Trey McBride on his roster. And he adds Brock Bowers. So Tim, do you agree with the best player available strategy here?
That is tough. It's hard to fault it, but I'd argue that Trey McBride is likely top four, top five tight end this year. Young, high upside, long term with Kyler Murray. You don't want to be in a spot where you're ever, flexing two tight ends. But it's definitely a tier break in rookies. But the team fit, whereas we laud and maybe Don going to get a little bit of a reach to get the running backs filled out in his room. I don't know that Clayton needed another tight end.
Yeah, who needs a tight end? Don. So that's another reason why.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised he overlooked Brock Bowers there. He's rolling into this season with Ben Sano, which we'll get into later, Luke Musgrave, and Tyler Kraft. So I thought maybe Bowers and Don was going to be the perfect marriage there.
Right.
But hey, Jonathan Brooks instead. So Clayton gets Bowers, which I personally like that pick. I do enjoy because of that tier break, like Tim mentioned. Let's go to 1-6, where Don was once again on the clock, and he selects kind of the first receiver of the next tier, Xavier Worthy, wide receiver to the Kansas City Chiefs, goes to Don's roster. Aaron, is Worthy the right pick there?
I thought this was a good pick. I think he couldn't have gone wrong with Worthy or Benson here, if I'm Don, just because, again, he needs running backs. But Xavier Worthy, kind of that versatile, just, take the top off the defense kind of guy that outside of Olave, I feel like Don doesn't really have a lot of in his roster. And so just to get that depth piece there to be able to flex him potentially and allow him to maybe score some more points with the Kansas City offense, if you can get a piece of them, that's always going to be a win. So I did like the pick.
Awesome. Awesome. Tim?
Yeah, whereas Jonathan Brooks, I wasn't necessarily in love with for the team. I think Worthy's a great pick for Don's team. He's got a lot of steady eddies at receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And Worthy on any given week, I think we could all see him going off and getting 30, 35 points, a couple touchdowns, a couple long teddies from Pat Mahomes. So I think that was a good fit for the team makeup.
Yep. At the 107, Steven, back on the clock. He selected Malik Nabers at 1-2, and he comes back and just tries to address that horrendous running back room he had. Granted, he did trade for Jonathan Taylor. So let's add something, another piece, a young piece. He goes with Trey Benson, the running back for the Arizona Cardinals, goes to Steven. Aaron, we know that Steven's been struggling with running backs for a while. Was this kind of a pick that had to happen?
Yeah, it's the obvious pick. 100%. I was trying to get the 1-7 from Stevens so bad, trying to trade up from the 1-8, but
for Trey Benson?
Well, yeah, potentially. Just, you know, running back again, depth is, you know, scarce, and there was a clear break when it comes to just the tiers for me after Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson. So, no, this is a very clear pick for Steven. I think it was the right move for him.
There you go. All right. So after the 1-7, I will say this is where the draft got really interesting to me, because I will tell you, I'm kind of in the market for a backup quarterback. I know Zach's in the market for a backup quarterback. So there was a certain somebody that we were surprised hadn't gone in the top 7 picks yet. So then we get to the 108, Aaron Hunt, with Mr. 3 quarterbacks on your roster already, or 4?
Now I have 5.
Jeez. So anyway, you had 4 quarterbacks on your roster, and you're at the 108. Tell me the reasoning behind taking Caleb Williams with the 1-8.
I mean, I just could not believe he was still there, to be honest with you. I mean, Don has Brock Purdy as a starting quarterback. I thought for sure, given that he had 2 picks, he was going to take Caleb Williams with one of those. And whenever he didn't, that basically allowed it to fall to where Caleb Williams came to me. And I was like, man, if he's as good as we're all saying he is, then I'm going to take him. And really, my team's in a crossroads where I could kind of use him as like another fundamental like building block for rebuilding, or, you know, trade him. And that's sort of what I was thinking there. So
drafted to trade, huh?
Potentially drafted to trade, or, you know, depending on how the off season continues to go for me and into the season, which I guess we can get into some with preseason power rankings, but it's a versatile piece, and it was like a value pick.
Caleb Williams, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Trevor Lawrence.
What hurts?
All microwaving with Russell Wilson right now.
What hurts me is there's just not a lot of teams that need a starter, so I just need somebody to go down is really what it comes down to.
It's a 10-team league, man. It's a 10-team league. All right. Let's move on to the 1-9. So Aaron takes Caleb Williams at the 1-8. Zach is up. He already has Marvin Harrison Jr. And who does he pair with Mr. Harrison Jr.? He goes with Josh Allen's new toy, Mr. Keon Coleman, with the Buffalo Bills at the 1-9, goes to Zach. Tim, I know, you know, you have opinions about wide receivers, and there was a couple other guys I think that were in similar tiers here. Was Keon Coleman the right guy to go next?
If you're wanting an unbiased view, you're asking the wrong guy, because I am not a fan of Keon Coleman.
Treylon Burks 2.0?
Not a fan of his tape at all. Maybe not even as good as Treylon Burks as a prospect. Woo. I mean, that pick, my jaw was on the table. My jaw was on the table when he made that pick. I mean,
on the table?
I do not like Keon Coleman, man.
But that's where he goes in drafts, though, roughly.
He's late first, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Zach will tell you that he likes the upside, right? He could be Josh Allen's number one target. I just didn't see it on the field with his college tape. He just didn't appear like he belonged. So I would have much rather gone like a Brian Thomas or one of the first round receivers that were still out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. Do you like Coleman there with the 1-9?
That's where I was struggling, man, because behind, you know, just Caleb Williams, where I was, you know, decided to go with him, I was like, okay, what are some of the other receivers out there? And I knew I had an early second round pick to maybe try to get one of those guys. And yeah, I'm not a huge Keon guy either. I'm not maybe as down on him as Tim is necessarily. I think he's got some upside, but I definitely think we need to taper expectations for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if Keon Coleman finishes with 8 touchdowns year one. He's just a big body that I think, you know, once Dalton Kincaid gets all the over-the-middle passes to work you from the 20 to down to the 5, toss it up to Keon Coleman on a little fade route. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets some of those. Kind of like a Gabe Davis body a little bit.
Yeah.
But to your point, when it comes to just like the overall speed, dexterity, you know, we'll see. That's with the 1-9. We go to the 1-10, which is a pick I know Aaron is a big fan of. And Clayton was at the 1-10. He already took Brock Bowers at the 1-5. And he concludes the first round with Mr. Brian Thomas from the Jacksonville Jaguars going on to Clayton's roster. It will look pretty good there. Aaron, Thomas, the obvious pick there?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's either Thomas or McConkey. I feel like there's people that are in... I feel like there's people in both camps, different arguments to be made for each player, different styles of how they play receiver. So I am a big fan of Brian Thomas. I like the vertical threat that he brings, and he showed that in preseason some as well. So, yeah, if it wasn't Caleb Williams that I picked there, I would have picked Brian Thomas for sure.
All right. Well, that concludes the first round. Just one more time at the 1-1 to Zach, we had Marvin Harrison Jr., the 1-2 to Steven, we had Malik Nabers. Tim chooses Roma Dunze at 1-3. Jonathan Brooks to Don at 1-4. Clayton gets Brock Bowers at 1-5. Don Xavier Worthy at 1-6. Steven Trey Benson at 1-7. Caleb Williams goes to Aaron at 1-8. Keon Coleman to Zach at 1-9. And Brian Thomas to Clayton at the 1-10. I think overall the first round, no massive shocks, I would say. No, like, huge. You could argue the order maybe surprised a few people, but I think just the players, the people that went in the first round, it was largely expected, right? I ain't crazy for thinking that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no, I think the top 10 went in the top 10.
All right, well done, Don. All right.
We did it.
What we'll do now is I will quickly run through the second round. We'll do the same thing with the third round, and then each of us will choose a pick that we either liked, we didn't like, that we want to talk a little bit more. So at the 2-1, there was actually a trade here. A trade happened. I originally had the 2-1, and Aaron originally had the 2-2. Obviously, Aaron had his eyes on somebody. If you listen to his last monologue about Brian Thomas, you could probably figure it out. But we did a little trade-z. I got the 2-2 and a second-round pick next year, and Aaron got the 2-1 and a third round pick from me next year. So basically, we swap rounds next year. Aaron moves up one. And at the 2-1, Aaron receives Ladd McConkey, the wide receiver for the Los Angeles Chargers. Tim, Aaron had to give up a second there to move up and get him, move up one spot. Do you think it was worth it?
I think it was because of the first round having Caleb Williams fall into his lap.
That's true.
Like we're kind of alluding to, he probably had his eye on a receiver. And then now that, you know, Caleb Williams is there, you kind of take the value there. And then you're just like, all right, well, I'm still kind of chomping at the bit to get one of the guys I wanted. So I think anything to kind of like just secure a dude for him is probably worth it.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, I loved the draft timer because that was the perfect example of Aaron and I were like flirting for 3-4 minutes, and then it got down to 30 seconds, and I was like, dude, this is my final offer, or I'm taking Ladd. Yeah, like, yeah. I was doing it. Yeah. And he was like, fine, do it. So I felt like a little NFL GM there for a second. That was fun. You happy with the value there at McConkey 2-1?
I am. Yeah, I mean, right now he's in my flex, you know, starting lineup, so. I think he will be Justin Herbert's go-to guy. It might be a slow build-up because he's been hurt in camp, and so is Herbert. But, I mean, who else is in L.A. outside of Quentin Johnston, which we know he sucks. So
yeah. They even released Donald Parham, I saw.
Yeah.
He wasn't very good at football, but he was like 6'9", so that helps. But, 2-1 to Aaron. He gives up a second. I receive a second, move down one spot, and receive the guy that I had my eyes on, Jaden Daniels, at the 2-2. Obviously, I had Josh Allen and the Justin Fields. That dream, unfortunately, turned into a nightmare. So I was needing another backup quarterback, and Jaden Daniels was the guy. I liked his tape, LSU numbers, almost rivaled Joe Burrow's. I think he had a really good year, Heisman Trophy winner, obviously. So will I start him? I don't know. Maybe. Probably not. Once this year, but he's a good backup, really high upside that I liked there, and that's roughly, I would say, where he goes in rookie drafts. Am I crazy for picking 2-2 Jaden Daniels there?
No, I think that was a very good play by you. You needed other quarterbacks, and I do like Jaden Daniels quite a bit. So
I actually forgot we're supposed to just be running through the second round. I'm sorry.
After this pick, you can do that.
Yes.
Now we can just run through.
I love the Jaden Daniels pick for you. Thanks, I brother. Think, you know, Josh Allen is sneaky getting up there in years.
Sneaky. I know.
How old is he now? 28?
He's going to be 29 this year.
29?
Yeah. Yeah. Big running body guy.
He can't be rumbling and tumbling much anymore.
Yeah, he do be doing that. So sneaky, great ad by you.
Thank you, sir. At 2-3, Anthony receives the Colt, Adonai, Mitchell.
Colt, go Colts.
At 2-3, Don back on the clock gets Xavier Leggett at 2-4. Ricky, keep my Rolex Pearsall at 2-5, goes to Hayden. Jermaine Burton to stretch at 2-6. Blake Quorum also to stretch at 2-7. I drafted Jalen Wright at 2-8, but there was a trade that we'll get into here later. Troy Franklin goes to Zach at the 2-9, and Marshawn Lloyd to Clayton to round out 2-10. Tim, what is the one pick that sticks out to you there?
Based on, you know, 4 weeks post-draft, the vibes around Troy Franklin are not good.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking later, you know, into second round picks, so you're kind of taking some shots there. But, I mean, you've got some guys up there that I still like, even like going Patriots, Jalen Polk, and some other running back targets. But Troy Franklin at a, you know, sopping wet 175 pounds does not seem to be doing hot in Denver. So that one kind of jumps out to me as a potential early bust.
He really fell in the real draft as well. I mean, his stats were amazing, but all he ran was nines, and Bo Nix like hit him on a slant and took it to the house. So he has that capability. But to your point, with elite quarterbacks, more physical plays, you know, I could argue maybe with the upside, the opportunity 2-9 could maybe be a good price, but I would agree. Maybe a little early.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's maybe some development. Maybe you're trying to squeak out of him, but right now he's listed as the wide receiver 5 on the depth chart.
Whew. Lordy. But you got the Bo Nix connection. Woo. All right. Aaron, what was your pick of the second round, good or bad?
I took a more positive connotation with my pick. I went Blake Corum as my favorite pick of the second round. And the main reason that I picked him is just where Stretch was able to get him at the 2-7. I feel like that was just really good value for a player that Sean McVay has very much said is in the plans for the Rams offense. Now, how much of the plans, you know, that could be
none.
That can be debated.
Zero. Ronnie Rivers.
With, you know, Kyron Williams, right? He was a stud last year, but just given how he's maybe on a little bit on the lower size of how you know what you want for a running back, right? I think Corum will probably get, you know, 5 to 10 touches, maybe the occasional 15 in a game. And to get that value at this in the second round, and with how much the turnover is with running backs, I really like that pick, and I like the talent. I mean, I saw Blake Corum a bunch just in Big Ten play at Michigan, and a lot of times he was just making fools look dumb.
Yeah, like Ohio State. So, yeah. I remember. Mm-hmm. I remember. I will say, I thought I was going to have like the perfect draft as the Kyron owner. I'm sitting there at 2-8. Stretch isn't even at the draft, right? He sent us a pre-list of things he wanted. I'm sitting there at the 2-8. I'm like, I'm going to get Blake Corum. This is perfect. This is amazing. I'm hype. And then Tim shows me Stretch's list. I see Blake Corum's next on the list. I almost did my first act of commissioner dictatorship and said, oops,
oh man,
he didn't mean to take that. Jalen Wright looks really good here, you know. I'm sure Stretch won't mind, and did that. But man of my word, and I had Tim to make sure I didn't do any Travis Dacks. So yeah, I like that pick as well. Blake Corum at the 2-7. Mine is call me a homer if you want.
Colt, go Colts.
And it's really, I think, you know, when you look at A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Leggett, you know, Jermaine Burton, some people would put up there, they're kind of a tier. I think Ladd McConkey was the last of that, like, could be pretty good this year and also pretty talented. I thought A.D. Mitchell was the top of the next tier, not just because I'm a Colts fan, but if you look at the training camp reports, if you look at the preseason play, right, he caught a touchdown the other day. Josh Downs probably isn't going to start the season at 100%. And Alec Pierce is Alec Pierce, okay? He's going to be running the nines. That's his thing. There's a good chance AD is the starting slot receiver. And I just think he's got the talent, man. Like, if you want to play some smooth jazz music and go watch a college wide receiver run routes, it's AD Mitchell. It's so beautiful. In my opinion, his, like, peak probably won't happen, but his, like, his peak max potential is, like, a CD Lamb. Like, he has the similar frame, smooth routes, or, you know, at the down bottom, he could be like a Zay Jones or something. But yeah, I just really like AD Mitchell. I thought he was the pick to go there, so I'm glad Anthony made it and got a Colt on his team as well. So that does not hurt. That was your second round. We'll move on to the third round. At 3-1, Zach takes Braylon Allen, the running back for the Jets. At 3-2, Steven selects Roman Wilson, wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. 3-3, Clayton gets Bucky Irving to the roster, running back for the Bucks. At 3-4, Don selects Ben Sanou, tight end for the Commanders. 3-5, Clayton on the board again, selects Malachi Corley. It's Malachi, right? Yeah, Malachi Corley, the wide receiver for the Jets. 3-6, Stretch selects Jalen Polk for the Patriots. At the 3-7, Zach goes J.J. McCarthy, rest in peace. 3-8, Aaron selects Kimani Vidal. 3-9, Clayton selects Ray Davis. And at the 3-10, already off of his roster, Anthony selects Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver for the Commanders, whose latest training report recamp is not emerged as an obvious top four wideout. So maybe good call there by Anthony. Real quick, Aaron, what should one of these picks stick out to you?
So my standout pick was Ben, how do you pronounce it? Sanou?
I thought it was Sanou.
Sanou? Okay. We'll go with Sanou at the 3-4. I am just a big fan of what I saw on the film of Ben Sanou. I feel like he's got some potential. I think there was some sleeper notes that were saying he struggled with some separation, but, like, you know, tight ends,
he's
right?
He's a tight end,
it's
yeah.
It's a tight end.
You don't expect you to get, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a receiver for a reason. Right. So I think that with Jaden Daniels being a rookie, Ben Sanou being a rookie, he's going to have that safety blanket that, you know, maybe he could develop into, like, you know, not necessarily as good as Jason Witten, but, like, just that safety blanket type asset in the offense for Jaden Daniels to rely on in case he gets in trouble and needs a dump off, you know, 5 to 10 yards down the field. So, and just at the 3-4, I was seeing a lot of mocks where he was going in the second round pretty comfortably. And so just to get that value there, and Don definitely needed some tight end help, I think that was a good pick.
Cool. That makes sense to me. Tim, third round, who got a deal, or maybe who did a questionable pick in your eyes?
Yeah, I've got a deal here that I didn't think I was going to be in on at all. And that's Ray Davis at the 209.
Stop.
The guy's already like 27, 29, 34 years old, maybe something like that. Been in college for 12 years.
He's pretty old. He's like 24. But
he, like, throughout training camp and preseason, he won the RB2 job in Buffalo. James Cook, you know, notwithstanding, he's going to be the bell cow. But, you know, Ray Davis looks like a pretty valuable handcuff. That, yeah, I didn't think I was.
He also looks like he doesn't miss a Popeyes biscuit. Look at his latest headshot on Sleeper.
Yeah,
good
Lord. I saw it.
He is round.
He sure is. But that's a pick that turned out that I'm
bowling.
I like
5'8. Holy crap.
Bowling ball.
5'8, 220.
Oh, geez.
Picture like Maurice Jones-Drew currently playing in the NFL.
Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. You heard it here first. Tim just compared Ray Davis to Maurice Jones-Drew.
You went AD Mitchell to CD Lamb. So, you know, that's all going out that's here tonight.
That's fair. As the James Cook owner, I hate that pick. As the Kyren owner, I hated your pick last round. You guys stop bullying me. That'd be great. My original pick was going to be J.J. McCarthy. I liked the value, but I actually really like the value of Jalen Polk at 3-6. I feel like if you were to do like a mock draft right now, just let the computer sim it, look at average draft position, Polk is probably mid to late second. So, I mean, whenever you get a value like that at 3-6, no matter what you think of him, no matter what you think of his talent, the fact that you got him almost a later round in what is a really muddy Patriots wide receiver room, Like, I'm holding on to Pop Douglas just because maybe. I don't know. Yeah, like, you know, just take a shot.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the poor man's version of, like, the Green Bay Packers wide receiver room. It's like, I don't know who's going to do what, but just pick one. I don't know. And, you know, kind of get a lottery ticket. So, I like that for Stretch. A lot of people would argue that Polk is the most talented of all of those receivers, and maybe you get the rookie connection with Drake May once he takes the reins there in New England. So I did like that one for Stretch at the 3-6. So that is your draft in total there. We will quickly do some winners and losers here, and I'll start with Aaron here. Give me your winner of the draft.
The winner for me was Don, just because I think he added some pieces that legitimately can help his team both this year and in years to come. Jonathan Brooks and Xavier Worthy, I loved both of those picks in the first round. I already mentioned that I'm a big fan of Jonathan Brooks. I think 1-4, yeah, maybe some people would argue that that's a bit of a reach and maybe he's more of the mid to late first, but I think I was very okay with that pick. I think Jonathan Brooks is going to be the dude. Running back touches in the NFL are hard to come by, especially with the guy that has the potential to be a 20-plus carry guy game, and I think Jonathan Brooks is that once he's healthy. And then Xavier Worthy as well. I think just getting a piece of that Chiefs offense is juicy. Anytime you can get that to pair it with Patrick Mahomes, Rashee Rice, right, has some of the legal issues that maybe won't plague him this year, but it's very possible next year that that would follow him, and maybe there's some value to be had in a couple of years from now with Xavier Worthy as well. And then I already highlighted it, the Ben Sanou pick as well in the third round was great. And then Xavier Leggett, yeah, out of all of Don's picks, that was probably the one I liked the least, but still a starting wide receiver, it's first round draft capital. Yeah, value at 2-4. It made sense. I just feel like Don didn't necessarily make a bad pick in the draft, and in my opinion, he couldn't afford to make a bad pick. So that's my winner.
Yeah, he certainly left with a haul. One question for you. If Don would have left the draft, the first round, with Bowers and Worthy instead of Brooks and Worthy, would you feel the same way?
I wouldn't love it as much.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Just curious.
I think it still would have made sense. I think Brock Bowers, right, is a generational talent at tight end. And, of course, Don definitely needs tight end help. But Jonathan Brooks is more of that impact, immediate guy. Brock Bowers might take a year or two.
All right. Tim, we'll throw it over to you. Your winner.
I've got my winner, despite the Keon Coleman pick, as Zach this year. I mean, start Marvin Harrison Jr., say less, elite prospect, should be a stud in the NFL. I was kind of down on the draft class as a whole. I don't think there's a ton of, like, superstar studs in there. So to get one locked in. And then the third round, Braylon Allen, he gets his Breece Hall handcuff. Like, he's established himself as the running back two in New York. And then so everything else is just a cherry on top. But Marvin Harrison, loved the pick. Braylon Allen, loved the pick.
He also took Keon Coleman and Troy Franklin, though. That's why I was surprised. I was like, wow.
Marvin Harrison, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm so down on the class that Marvin Harrison just outweighs that so much to get a generational talent like that.
Yeah, and actually, I'll go ahead and go into my loser here because it's similar to Tim's. While I like a lot of the moves that he did one move that I'm like, dude, I think I've lost you the draft. And I'm sorry, it was Steven. I don't know why you're getting a 25, 26-year-old Jonathan Taylor, something around there, 25, 26. Second-year contract, regardless, running back, and trading him for the 103 for – you know, maybe any other year, you know, Rome Odunze is probably the first receiver off the board, right? Going to a rookie quarterback, that's the best we've seen, you know, prospect-wise since Andrew Luck. I thought that was a slam dunk. You leave the draft with Neighbors and Odunze, holy crap. Like, you have your wide receiver room set for the next, you know, 5-10 years probably. So instead, you get a Jonathan Taylor that maybe has 3 years left. I mean, you know, obviously he had the running back one season 2 years ago, but he's kind of been pretty meh since, you know, injuries and contracts, all that jazz. So, yeah, it's looking up for him this year. But, yeah, I really didn't like that trade. for Steven, I'll be honest. And that kind of tarnished a lot of the rest of the draft for me, for him. So that's my loser. Aaron, I'll throw it over to you if you're a loser real quick.
Yeah, the loser for me is Clayton. And the reason I say that is, Clayton, if you're listening to this, I'm not hating on your Brock Bowers pick necessarily.
I love your Brock Bowers pick, Clayton. I will fight for you, dude.
I think you took the mindset of best player available. I'm going to take the value, and I respect that. If I'm the manager of your team, though, I'm going a different direction because you already have Trey McBride. Brock Bowers, you know, we know historically, and I know firsthand, rookie tight ends take time. Kyle Pitts was not an impact guy right away, and he still is.
Still taking time.
We thought he was a generational talent. I still think he is, but yeah. The point being that tight ends just don't make an immediate impact for your team, and I could just make an argument that you could have went Xavier Worthy, you could have went Trey Benson, you could have just like other positions of need you could have addressed at the 1-5. I loved your pick at 110. Brian Thomas was a great pick. But then your other picks as well. Malachi Corley, I wasn't a fan of him. I don't like that player. And then Ray Davis, I know Tim mentioned he's warming up to him. But, yeah, I mean, 3-9, you're not going to do much there anyway. So, I just didn't love it. I think 3 or 4 picks, I just would have maybe done a different strategy on my side.
I feel that. I forgot to say, my winner was also Zach, and Tim pretty much made all of my points. I also like the J.J. McCarthy pick in round 3. I know he was looking for a backup quarterback, and at the time, you got a starting quarterback probably on a pretty good offense with some good weapons, so I thought that was a really good value. Obviously, that was 3 weeks ago, but still, I mean, you know, the Marvin Harrison Jr. pick, like Tim said, I do like Keon Coleman just for the dart throw. I'm like, hey, who else have they got? I think he's more talented than Khalil Shakir. Yeah, I do. So I liked that maybe a little more than Tim did. And you already know my loser. So Tim, we'll throw it over to you for your loser. Loser.
Yeah.
Loser.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I put too soon question mark in the doc, but Hayden had one pick in the rookie draft this year. Selects Ricky Pearsall. Who got shot?
He's got that dog in him.
Shouldn't be laughing. He's like, okay, right?
And then also the fact that Debo's still there and Ayuk re-signed for his big deal there. So now all of a sudden Ricky Pearsall is like target 4-5 maybe at best for the, like, I don't see him breaking through that top 3 target on the team for at least 3 or 4 years down the road.
I mean, look at Dante Pettis.
Long time to pan out.
Yeah. That's actually a good point. I didn't think about that. That was his only pick. So great analysis on your part, Tim. I like that. So that is your rookie review for this year. The 2024 rookie draft is in the books. Let us know your thoughts, your winners, your losers, and why Troy Franklin is a horrendous pick, according to Tim. And now that we know where the rookies went, the trades that were made in the draft, shall we jump into your first power rankings of the new year?
Let's do it.
Let's ride.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in.
I'm hyped for this.
Year 5 of this league. And we've got your power rankings, the preseason power rankings coming hot right at you the week that the NFL starts. Without further ado, let's get into the bottom. Number 10, we have Njigba's in Paris.
Oh, that's
been
tough.
A lot of last year trying to fight into that top 6, and then starts this year just in the tank. Tied for number 8, maybe surprising. The Red Rocket in Mount Passmore.
Okay. All right.
Somebody, you know, we just poo-pooed on Steven a little bit there. Somebody did. But tied at 8 there in the bottom. Number 7, a team that, you know, we just congratulated a little bit. Breece Lightning looking to get out of the bottom 4 there in the power rankings.
Fascinating.
And again, with the six teams making the playoffs and four not, this is kind of where I visually always break the power rankings. At number six, kind of a offensive to say, Super Kamario.
That's not offensive.
Two-time champion, one-time runner-up.
Walker hardly know her, by the way. But yeah, it's not offensive.
Oh, my bad. Walker hardly know her. Number six. I had him at three, for the record. I just, you know, got to respect.
I think I had him at five. Or did I have him at six? Oh, Lord, I had him at six. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I had him at three. Man.
That's why I said it's not disrespectful.
Just, you know, we're just clinching around here. So, at number five, down from last year, I think you were number one most of the year. Let Russ microwave.
Oof. Have you ever been this low?
No.
Like, ever?
A little down on the offseason, potentially, it looks like.
Yeah.
I'm down, okay, too, on myself.
So maybe rightfully so.
Yeah, I'm down on myself.
All right, so then we got tied for number three. Close, but no Jamar. Here I come, here I come. And Tua, Infinity, and Bijan.
Wow. All right.
While we may not have liked the draft, I think we like a lot of what happened to players on the team this year. Hasn't gotten enough love yet in the offseason, but podcast season's just getting started. So he'll get his love. He'll get his flowers. And for a tie at number one in the preseason power rankings, we have Team Fairlife and Team Uninspired Youth. So we've got the champ from last year getting his dues at number one, Team Uninspired Youth. And then the champ of this year, Team Fairline.
I'm the champ?
Yeah, it's going to happen, right? You're number one in the power rankings.
Oh, God, man. I'm surprised, though. I'm surprised. I feel like Anthony didn't do a lot. And we'll get into a lot of this when we get into our predictions. But I feel like Anthony didn't do a lot. We all know he had an aging-ish team. So he doesn't do anything, and he stays at the top. So I guess, you know, that's a vote of confidence for Travis Kelce's, Christian McCaffrey's, Keenan Allen's of the world. But yeah, I think we are doing Stretch a disservice putting him down at six. But yeah, I think that's more of a testament to the other teams improving rather than maybe Stretch not being as good. Aaron, any initial thoughts on the power rankings before we get into some betting?
I'm sad to see myself as low as I am. That's just tough because I've always been usually like top four or three in the league in power rankings. So on a personal note, that's crushing. But no, I think I can get behind it. I'm a little bit higher just on Hayden, up and down on his roster. I had him as number one. So I think for him to be number three, I can live with it, but I just really think his roster up and down is pretty elite.
All right. Tim, any thoughts before we move on?
You heard it here first. This preseason power rankings edition.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Tim, you want to run it through one more time real quick, and then we'll move on to a guarantee.
Number 10, Njigba's in Paris. Tied for 8, Mount Passmore and the Red Rocket. Number 7, Breece Lightning. Number 6, Walker, hardly know her. Number 5, Let Russ Microwave. Tied for 3, Close But No Jamar and Tua Infinity and Bijan. And tied at number 1, Team Fairlife and Team Uninspired Youth.
Lots of ties, lots of folks thinking they can have a shot at the nut this year, man. Tell you what, I like where we are this year going into. I feel like there's a lot of folks going in with confidence, maybe more than we're used to. So that is your first preseason power rankings. We are also going to give you a preseason, season-long, this league guarantee. Let's get into it. Long drop.
The This League trade rumor.
The real one.
The This League guarantee.
Season-long predictions coming to you for the This League guarantee. Apparently, our betting platform of choice, DraftKings, won't let you parlay certain stuff. So I got three, but I'll let you guys know the one that we're going to do. It looks like we have a combination of receiving and rushing yards here. So Tim, I will start with you. Your season long guarantee, who you got?
I've got a wide receiver over 1,000 receiving yards plus 150, and that is a T. Higgins looking for a monster deal. Going to be playing his cojones off and calling for the ball. I think he's going to get over 1,000 yards.
I like that. What was like, was it his rookie year or sophomore year where he had kind of that top 15 season? He was probably well over 1,000 on that one, I would imagine.
Yeah, he's had a couple. I want to say 2 of 4 have been over, and then the other two were like 900 and 800. So
injuries.
Always flirting.
All right. I can get down with that one. Joe Burrow's back. The offense is back. T. Higgins is back. 1,000 yards seems like cake. Aaron, who are we taking? What's your leg of the guarantee?
I'm a big fan of Isaiah Pacheco this year.
Okay.
And so I think he will easily eclipse over 1,000 rushing yards. And that odds is at plus 140 currently, which I think is pretty juicy because that just seems like such a layup. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco, when he runs, he just attacks the ground. I love watching that guy run the football, and he's going to be a bell cow this year for the Chiefs, and I think the offense will run through him quite a bit.
There you go. Over 1,000 rushing yards for Isaiah Pacheco at plus 140. We're booking that in. And then the one that you can actually parlay that I'm going to give you, I like this one a lot. What if I told you that Dalton Kincaid, over 750 receiving yards, you're probably thinking that's like minus 600, right? It's minus 110, baby. Come on, baby. Dalton Kincaid, over 750 receiving yards. For reference, last year, Jake Ferguson, like the third target maybe in the Dallas offense, had 761 receiving yards last year. Dalton Kincaid had 673. So you're telling me you vacate the targets from Diggs, you vacate the targets from Davis. You're really the only middle of the field, you know, middle of the field target now, and all you have to do is get 80 more yards in a year with Josh Allen as your quarterback, considering Dalton Kincaid had 673 last year. Come on,
love it.
Come on, yeah.
I like
that. Over 750 yards for Dalton Kincaid. Lock that in. When you take those three, again, Dalton Kincaid over 750, T. Higgins over 1,000 receiving yards, and Isaiah Pacheco over 1,000 rushing yards, you're hitting that for a plus 1,000 parlay. Now, I know we usually say put your rent on it, but don't put your rent on this one because you're not going to get it back until February or January.
It's going to take a while.
Yeah, it's going to take a little bit, so you might want to keep some of that. But you want to put your 401k on it? Dude, talk about returns, man. No matter who gets
$100,000 for $1 million, pretty easy.
Come on, dude. No matter who's president, you are not going to get those returns in your 401k. I guarantee it. Oh, crap. Oh, I missed the chance. I missed with the drop. Oh, I guarantee it. That would have been perfect. God, I'm such a horrible podcast host. For reference, I will say my other two, in case you're curious, Jaden Daniels over 3,150 yards. Did you know over the past decade, with rookie quarterbacks that started at least 14 games, only one rookie quarterback has not threw for over 3,150 yards, which is Jaden Daniels' line. Can you guess the rookie quarterback? Started 15 games.
What year?
I might give it away. Last year. Started 15 games.
Bryce Young.
You got it. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, Bryce Young.
The only quarterback. Over the last 10 years, rookie quarterback, started 15
he
games.
Sucks.
Did not throw over 3,100 yards. Jaden Daniels, probably taking into account the rushing, probably taking into account the injury risk. But if he stays healthy, I think he could have an RG3 level season this year. 31, that's easy. And then the Steelers, over 7.5 wins. Mike Tomlin still somehow has not had a losing season. And you're telling me you're keeping largely the same core and upgrading. You can argue how much of an upgrade. But upgrading at quarterback, I think they go over 7.5 wins again. I mean, it's Mike Tomlin. He's done it with a lot worse. So those are the ones that you can't parlay, in case you're curious. I like those a lot as well. But that is not part of the official guarantee. But do put your 401k on our previous guarantee. and go make some money. Let's dive into probably what you all have been waiting for, the official predictions, NFL, this league. We're doing Super Bowl, MVP, this league champion, the whole nine yards. Let's get into it. All right, so I guess we will start with some NFL league predictions. I always enjoy going down memory lane, man. It's so great thinking what our beautiful genius minds were thinking around this time last year. We will start with our Super Bowl matchups, our Super Bowl picks. Who are we going to pick to be in New Orleans this year? Last season, I had the Philadelphia Eagles over the New York Jets because heck yeah.
Close.
Tim had the Cincinnati Bengals over the Dallas Cowboys.
Close.
And Aaron had the Buffalo Bills over the Philadelphia Eagles. Close. We didn't even get a team right. We didn't. Good. Did any of our teams even make the AFC Championship game? I don't think they did. No. Or NFC Championship game. Wow. We are amazing. We are amazing. We're good. Well, if either of my teams make the AFC or NFC Championship games, it's probably good for football, at least for one of them, because I am probably going as chalk as you can. The storylines are just too immense, all right? Three-peat, MVP, Taylor Swift, Andy Reid, like, come on.
Boo.
The Chiefs are going to win.
No.
The Chiefs Boo. Are going to win. Boo. And they're going to they are going to break America's heart, because all of America will be rooting for the Detroit Lions when they meet them there. I think the Lions, the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, but Roger Goodell will not let Patrick Mahomes not be a three-time three-peat champion. Unfortunately, I have the Chiefs over the Lions. Tim, we'll throw it over to you. Your Super Bowl pick.
Well, we'll agree on one of those teams. I think the Detroit Lions are going to the Super Bowl.
Nice.
I liked them last year and getting arguably two of the top three corners in the draft with Terrion Arnold and Ennis Rakestraw to shore up the secondary. Love those. Absolutely love those draft picks for them to shore up that defense. I think the Lions are going all the way this year. And I'm going to run it back. I'm getting Bengals. Joey B's coming in here healthy. This is his first offseason that he hasn't had an injury in training camp. This is his first clean offseason. Now, Jamar Chase hasn't been there, but that's, you know, Joey B's there. We're going to run it back with the Bengals. If it's going to happen in my lifetime, come on. It's going to happen.
Was it last offseason he had the calf injury?
Yeah, last offseason was lingering calf that went to, like, week four. I don't even remember all the other ones, like the knee surgery before. Just always, this is his first offseason. He's been clean bill of health. It's been electric to watch.
He just looks like Slim Shady. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah. I think Bengals are sleeping, man. Like, people are forgetting about them. Like, they were not good last year. Obviously, Joe Burrow was out most of the year. But yeah. I think people are forgetting how good they were. How big of, like, a Super Bowl favorite they were 2 years ago. And I think,
Joey B's the one I think that can take down the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, you got to have the mental toughness of epic proportions to go in against Patrick Mahomes. So I'm going to take the Bengals to complete the mission and get that Super Bowl.
That's a good point. Ravens are sexy. Texans are sexy. The Dolphins are sexy. People are forgetting about the Bengals. I like that call. Aaron, your Super Bowl pick. You got the Chiefs and the Bengals so far.
Yeah, so for me, I am doing a rematch of the 2013 Super Bowl where the lights went out. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah.
But yeah. I am going with the Ravens versus the 49ers, and I have the 49ers winning it all. The 49ers have been knocking on the door for what seems like years on years on years. They have everybody coming back. They have everybody healthy. Brock Purdy has another year in Kyle Shanahan's system. I think there's no reason that they can't make it to the final game. And I think Lamar Jackson and team are due. I think Lamar's got enough experience under his belt now, being in the playoffs, what it feels like to lose, just the pressure of it all. As long as he stays healthy and other members of that team stay healthy, Zay Flowers, I think he'll be in for a big year. Mark Andrews staying healthy. That defense is always stout. I just like both of those teams getting to the pinnacle of what they're working so hard to get to. And I think the San Francisco 49ers finally pull it off.
All right. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. So you have the Kansas City Chiefs over the Lions for me, the Bengals over the Lions for Tim, and the Ravens over the Niners for Aaron.
Oh, Niners over the Ravens.
Sorry, Niners over the Ravens. You're right. Yeah. For Aaron. It would be really shocking if none of these teams made it to the AFC or NFC championship.
Hey, we got five teams here. There's a chance, right?
I guess. That'd be nuts whenever Anthony Richardson just walks the league. All right. Speaking of Anthony Richardson, NFL MVP. I'm just kidding. I'll just get mine out of the way. Like, I'm sorry I'm being so boring. Like, I think we're suffering from LeBron James syndrome here, is what I call it, where in reality, every year LeBron's played, minus the last 2 years, but like the previous 15 years, he was the MVP. I mean, like, come on. But the media just gets tired of picking the same old guy. But I think Mahomes is going to have another year. He's going to lead his team. He's going to do great. And I think he's going to win the MVP again. I'm sorry to be so boring, but I mean, you only add weapons to the offense. It's Mahomes for me. I'm sorry, guys. I had to do it.
Boo.
I know. It sucks. I personally hate this, but we'll go to Tim now. Who you got?
Yeah, if my Super Bowl prediction's coming right, I'm going to run it back. Joey Burrow, a little revenge tour. Everybody's forgetting how good he is, and to make a special season happen, I think he's going to put up MVP numbers and get his first one.
Definitely more exciting than mine. I like it. Aaron, your NFL MVP pick.
Mine is Kyler Murray.
I like that a lot.
I think Kyler Murray is going to come out and show everybody why he was number one overall in the draft that he got selected. I think people are sleeping on him. He was hurt last year, immediately came back and had an impact. Nobody seems to remember that. He gets MHJ, Trey McBride another year in the system. Kyler Murray is going to take the league by storm this year.
Yeah. I like that pick a lot. Trip down memory lane. Last season, I had Aaron Rodgers winning the MVP. Tim had Joe Burrow, and Aaron had Josh Allen. Yeah. So Josh Allen made a little push there toward the end whenever like the Bills had to win six straight to make the playoffs. All right, let's move on to offensive player of the year, or what I like to call the best non-quarterback in football. Tim, we'll start with you. Your offensive player of the year.
My offensive player of the year is a cat that I don't think a lot of people have talked about enough, even for the stud that he is, and that's Bijan Robinson. I think the Falcons line is top three, top five in the league. Getting Arthur Poopy Smith out of there is going to do wonders for them. And even with Algier and even with Kirk Cousins and an increased passing attack, I think that just helps them not stack the box against Bijan. And I think he's in for an offensive player of the year type season.
That's a fun pick. I certainly think he has the talent. He definitely have the opportunity now. I dig that pick. Aaron, throw it over to you. Your offensive player of the year.
I'm going to go Tyreek Hill. I just was looking at who I thought could win this award, and you just can't stop Tyreek. The only person that can stop Tyreek is Tyreek himself if he gets hurt. I mean, he is just unbelievably talented, and the speed kills. He's going to win it if he doesn't get hurt.
That's fair. I mean, that's honestly probably the safe pick, I would say. Him or like Christian McCaffrey, probably. Definitely, in my opinion, undisputed. Well, you could argue Justin Jefferson.
I think they were the finalists last year. Yeah. And I think McCaffrey won.
Yep. Yes, indeed. Mine's CeeDee Lamb. You got your contract, but really for me, it's he was already so elite last year. He put up ridiculous numbers, and then nothing really changes. Like you downgrade at running back. Your biggest wide receiver competition is like a year older Brandon Cooks and a year older Jake Ferguson. Like, and you're going to have to lean on Dak even more, who's also in a contract year. So kind of going back to the whole, T. Higgins argument, like he might be playing his balls off to try to, get Jerry Jones's attention. So I think CeeDee Lamb, if he doesn't have even a better year than last year, I would not be surprised. And obviously with the Cowboys always being in prime time, always being talked about, I wouldn't be surprised if CeeDee Lamb gets a lot of pup and you see him as a finalist for Offensive Rookie of the Year, or excuse me, Offensive Player of the Year, and winning that. Going into last season, Tim had Justin Jefferson as his rookie of, or Offensive Player of the Year. Aaron had Chris Olave. And I had Lamar Jackson as my Offensive Player of the Year.
That was a bad pick by me.
Yikes. All right. Offensive Rookie of the Year. Last year, I had Anthony Richardson. Tim had Bijan Robinson running it back. And Aaron had Zay Flowers. I will start this one. You heard me earlier. I drafted him. I wanted him in my This League Guarantee parlay. But I think the Offensive Rookie of the Year is going to be Jaden Daniels. I think he might even put up better numbers than Caleb Williams simply because he's going to have to. Like, with his legs, with his arms, I think he's going to have to be that offense, especially considering, you know, your backfield mates are Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler. Like, they're not horrible, but they're certainly not going to be dynamic and move the ball in large chunks for you, in my opinion. I think he's going to have to be the offense with his legs, with his arms. If he stays healthy and the Commanders get close to the playoffs, like I think they will, and we'll get into that later, I think he wins Offensive Rookie of the Year. So that's my pick. Tim, I'll throw it over to you because you have a good counter argument, I'm sure.
I think it's going to be Caleb Williams. I think you got the other rookie quarterback. Jaden Daniels, I think I would put money outscores Caleb Williams in fantasy this year. But I think the narrative around a Chicago Bears quarterback, should he surpass 4,000 yards, I think that alone could lock it in, even if he only gets 18, 19 touchdowns on the year. But don't forget, Caleb Williams is coming into potentially the best situation a rookie quarterback has had in recent memory.
For sure.
Right, like who's the GM there? Is it Poles?
Ryan Poles.
Yep. Ryan Poles, yeah.
He has assembled like a star-filled team on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. It's the Bears, so you still kind of are always going to fight the vibes there a little bit, but Caleb Williams just seems like a guy that doesn't going to care about those vibes. He's going to paint his fingernails and go in there and win Rookie of the Year. And I think the Bears are going to be a surprise playoff team.
I like it, Aaron. You're a little off the beaten path. You're Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, mine's funny. I just want to do it for the vibes. Ladd McConkey, just because I have him on my roster, and I genuinely could see though a situation where he gets just insane volume from Justin Herbert and ends up getting Keenan Allen type numbers. And if the touchdowns land correctly for him, he could have a pretty significant season. I'm not saying he's like Puka Nacua numbers necessarily, but I could see him being a finalist for this.
Yeah, if he establishes himself as the number one target, I mean, yeah, I think a finalist is a pretty easy argument there. And we will quickly run into comeback player of the year. Joe Flacco won last year, which I think shocked a lot of people, especially DeMar Hamlin. We thought he was free money. My pick was Calvin Ridley. Tim had DeMar Hamlin. And Aaron had Breece Hall, which, you know, probably could have won it if you didn't have a 40-year-old quarterback and a guy who died and came back and played. So
yeah, I did that for the vibes.
That's probably a good call. My comeback player this year, it's Aaron Rodgers. I think he comes back. If the Jets make the playoffs, I think he gets it. Aaron, your comeback player?
So mine is a bit interesting. Chris Godwin would be my comeback player of the year. I feel like he still has some juice in the tank, and they're moving him back to the slot this year, which is prime time Chris Godwin. That's where he belongs. Wow. He doesn't belong on the outside.
I can't wait to use that during the year.
Prime time
Chris Godwin.
He doesn't belong on the outside, which is where they tried to play him last year as a wide receiver too, alongside Mike Evans. That just doesn't work for him. Put him back into the slot and magic is going to happen. Baker Mayfield's going to utilize him all over the field. I could see a pretty big season for Chris Godwin on the way.
I like that. That's unorthodox. That's unorthodox from a strictly playing standpoint. You can make the argument. Who's going to be the X receiver then?
McMillan maybe?
Oh, I don't know. All right, Tim, your comeback player of the year.
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers is the safe one. But if I'm going to go different, I'm going to pick another quarterback that got injured after only playing a couple games. Anthony Richardson.
Colt, go Colts.
If the Colts
are going to
be
anything, let's go, Tim. Anything, go horse.
Then he's going to have he's going to come in. He's going to show up with his legs. He's going to show up with his arm. He's going to stay healthy. And if that's the case, I think he could easily win comeback player of the year.
Colt, go Colts.
I like it. No argument from here. No argument from me, man. I like it a lot. Let's move on to the hot takes. I looked at these, and all of ours were pretty atrocious. So I don't feel bad for saying that the Detroit Lions were going to finish last and Dan Campbell was going to be fired. Was my hot take last year. Yeah. All right.
Ugh, gross.
I mean, maybe even worse. Aaron, you thought the New York Giants were going to advance to their first NFC Championship game since 2011. Instead, you got Tommy DeVito.
That was bold. That was terrible.
These are hot for a reason. I will yeah. say these are hot, you know.
Yeah.
And Tim's Buffalo Bills missed the playoffs. It almost happened. It almost happened.
It was close.
So I guess Tim got the closest. Tim, we'll start with you. Your hot take for this year.
My hot take, I'm running it back. More specifically, I'm going to say the Bills finished third in the division, missed the playoffs behind the Dolphins and the Jets.
Bills missing the playoffs. I feel like that's like a hot shower hot. It's not like a hot, but like
it's not as hot as last year.
Right.
But I mean, the media still loves them some Buffalo Bills.
All right. Aaron, your hot take this year.
The New York Jets are not going to clinch the division. They're not going to get a wild card berth. The New York Jets are going to miss the playoffs entirely. Okay. They will not be in the playoff picture. I think that Aaron Rodgers is done.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is done. I've seen video of him in camp running around. He doesn't look the same.
Looking old.
He looks old. He's 40 years old. I just don't think he has it anymore. And it's not the first time that it would be possible that we've seen a bad version of Aaron Rodgers. He's had some pretty rough seasons. You just have to go back a little ways to find them. But yeah, my vibes on the Jets are not great outside of Breece Hall and potentially Garrett Wilson if they just force feed him. So I think the New York Jets miss the playoffs, everybody gets fired, and they have to restart because that's the Jets.
And that's the Jets. Similar to Tim's, I don't think as hot this year as it would have been last year. I mean, I literally had them in the Super Bowl. But still, I think they're probably an odds-on favorite to be a playoff team if I was looking at the odds. Mine, I kind of mentioned it earlier, and this is not me saying the Washington Commanders are for sure going to be in the playoffs. But I do think that the NFC East comes down to the final day, and the Commanders are one of those teams. And that's maybe more of a downgrade on the rest of the NFC East. There's a lot of bad vibes, I would say, for all of those teams. But again, I'm a Jaden Daniels believer, man. And I think, you know, he does enough to muster some wins. And, you know, the Commanders are that weirdly, really weird. There's always that one team every year that's like, where the heck did they come from? Texans last year, you know. I like the Commanders, man. I like them. I like Jaden Daniels. And I think they take the NFC East to the final days and maybe even win it, you know. So that's my hot take. Go Commanders. Enough of the NFL. Let's get into the This League predictions. We'll first start with the last place loser, unfortunately. Last season, we all had the Red Rocket. And unfortunately, we were all wrong, actually. Obviously, I'm sorry. Who actually came in last year? Was it Clayton?
I think it might
regular season or yeah. the
either or.
I'm but, pretty sure it was Clayton. Clayton was last.
He was like 2-12 or something.
Okay. All right, then we all were right. Clayton, this is your year, bro. As in, you're not going to finish last because I have Njigma's in Paris finishing last. His starting lineup is pretty meh, and he has like not a lot of depth once, you know, bye weeks start hitting. So that's my last place pick. Tim, your last place pick.
I'm going to go a little spicy and go with Mount Passmore.
Oof.
A team that just missed the playoffs last year and was looking for a quick retool. to get back into the playoffs. I think maybe missed the mark. And I'm going to say has a down year.
All right. There you go. And Aaron, your last place team.
I'm going to go with the Red Rocket. I think, Clayton, you improved your team some. I do like your starters this time of the year, you know, at the start of the season more than I did last year. But I think it's only going to equate to a few more wins potentially on top of what you did last year. And you and Don will be in a bit of a race for that bottom place still. So I'm going to go with you.
All right. And there you have it. Njigba's in Paris, Mount Passmore, and the Red Rocket. So for Clayton, you didn't get a sweep, baby. Like I said, this is your year, bro. This is your year. He's gonna make some noise, perhaps. So let's get into the This League Dark Horse for reference last year. I had Brees Lightning, Tim had Don, and Aaron had Hayden. So I think Aaron, you know, maybe saw the future a little bit. Hayden came in with a lot of good rookies. He was his dark horse, made the playoffs out in the first round. My dark horse this year, I think we disrespected him. And by we, I mean me, because I literally had him at sixth place in the power rankings. But mine's Stretch, man. And I don't know if we can call him a dark horse since, you know, he's been to the championship more years than not. But, you know, I really, really liked the Davante Adams trade for him, which we forgot to mention in the rookie draft. But he did trade the 1-8 for Davante Adams virtually straight up. So you add him in there, another solid piece to pair with another year of Mike Evans, another year of Josh Jacobs, another year of Ken Walker. A lot of these names that you don't love aren't sexy necessarily, kind of like Stretch. But they're going to put up numbers. I mean, they're going to do great work. We've seen him win a lot of weeks just by guys putting up 30 and 40 and the rest of his team just being kaput. We all talked about how we like the Blake Corum pick. He has a lot of depth on the bench with James Conner, David Montgomery. I talked about how I like the Jalen Polk pick. I think Adam Thielen is going to be annoying again this year. Annoyingly, like, why is he still putting up decent numbers? So while I certainly don't have him as a favorite by any means, and then you also have the Kyler Murray, Anthony Richardson stack of quarterbacks that are both really exciting. So while I certainly do not have him as a favorite, I do think Stretch is a dark horse to probably make the playoffs and probably make some noise like he has every other year. I don't think he's ever really been any of our favorites, but he's there every year. I don't think it changes this year. Look out for Stretch this year. It's my dark horse. So, Tim, we'll throw it over to you. You're this league dark horse.
You know, I'm piggybacking off of Aaron on this one. So, Aaron, I'll let you have the floor first.
All right, yeah. So, my dark horse is actually Brees Lightning.
Brees Lightning!
I was just kind of trying to take a look at all the rosters and was like, who do I think is a team that maybe we haven't talked about a ton that has some dudes that could make some noise? And I started going through Zach's roster and I was like, CJ Stroud, okay, yeah, you know, coming back year two, he kind of popped off. Breece Hall, really like him. Zamir White's going to get a lot of touches. Oh, Marvin Harrison Jr.
That's fun.
Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
Njoku kind of popping off last year.
Okay. All
right. Yeah. And then, you know, it tails off a little bit by the end. Deontay Johnson, don't love the situation there, but he is the wide receiver one and probably, you know, you got to throw to somebody. And then Josh Palmer, I think he's going to end up switching that up as far as his flex. But then you look at his bench, he's got Javonte Williams, Brian Robinson. He just drafted Keon Coleman, Wandale Robinson, the wide receiver two in New York. Potentially Josh Downs is a decent flex option. So he's got some players, man. And I think he could make some noise and potentially squeak into the playoffs and cause some disruption and, you know, fool some of the plans that maybe other teams have. So that was my pick.
Yeah. Well put, well put. I think for me, the reasons I like his team is because of the top four receiving options he has. Marvin Harrison, Rashee Rice, he's going to play a full year. Deontay Johnson, wide receiver one in Carolina, could easily just get targeted to being a top 12 receiver. And then I think Josh Palmer is the guy in LA. I think the Chargers' number one receiver is going to be Josh Palmer for as long as he stays healthy. So those four alone, Zach is not going to be a guy I overlook this year.
Yeah, and I mean, my power rankings agree with you guys. Right under Stretch at the six, I think Zach is that number one contender for the playoff spot. So I think mine would agree with you as well. We only have one more, gentlemen. It is your official This League champion prediction. Who wants to kick it off? Any takers? Any takers?
Tim, you go for it.
Tim, you go first.
Let's do this.
Your official champion prediction. Who you got?
Drum roll, please. Team Fairlife.
Team Fairlife. Top five!
Oh, what a shot! I cannot get over how much I love Devon Achane and Kyren Williams as a stack. Devon Achane, I think, could like rewrite what we think of a running back in modern NFL fantasy. Kyren, the punt return doesn't really do anything to me. He's not a guy that you want on the field for 99% of touches. Like, he's just not. So I think toggling back the volume there isn't going to hurt his efficiency. You got Josh Allen. You got Cooper Kupp, who I think is going to have a bounce back year. I think Cooper Kupp's going to be a top 12 receiver, given the health of him and Matt Stafford. Pittman, you know, your team captain in the slot.
Colt, go Colts.
Kincaid, I think, is a top three, top four tight end this year. Easily Josh Allen's number one target. You got the stack. And then I'm high on Kamara still, like, until the Saints show otherwise. I think he's going to be an RB1. And then I think you got decent depth down the board to help in the event of anything going haywire. But for me, it's Josh Allen, QB1, and then Kyren and Devon Achane. Like, love those guys.
There you have it. Is he crazy, Aaron? Huh? Is he crazy?
I mean, I think your team's definitely a playoff team. I don't know. I think I'm not as high as Tim is on your team, but I will definitely say that you're definitely in contention for the nut this year. So I'm excited to see what happens with it.
All right, Aaron. Let me hear your pick. Who do you have going all the way this year?
I think it's Tua, Infinity, and Bijan.
Wow. Yeah,
I look up and down his roster and I'm like, outside of tight end, tell me a weakness. Tell me a weakness. I mean, Mahomes, he had a down year for fantasy last year, but like, that's not going to be the case forever. Bijan, we know he's the dude. I love Derrick Henry in Baltimore. I think he's just going to stumble into 12 touchdowns this year easily. Jalen Waddle, I'm very high on as a bounce back candidate this year. I think he battled some injuries and just was banged up last year. And it's Tyreek and him. Speed kills. I think he dominates. Debo, as long as he stays healthy. We know what Puka did last year. I think him and Cooper Kupp, kind of piggybacking off of what Tim said. And then Jahmyr Gibbs is also such a talented running back. And then not only that, but look at his depth.
Yeah, that's my biggest thing.
His depth is unbelievable. Tua as a backup is insane. Dowdle and ETN, those are both starters. ETN is most definitely a
ETN's
starter.
ETN's a top 10 guy in most people's lineups.
He's most people's lineup. He's a top 2 RB that they have starting. You got Romeo Dobbs, Christian Watson, Dontavian Wicks. He's got the whole Green Bay off receivers.
One of those, surely.
And then last but not least, Tank Dell.
Yeah.
Tank Dell on his bench is also insane. So I think he's going to take the league by storm, and he could definitely come out on top.
I could easily see that happening. I have him a little lower in my power rankings because I think you might run into some like game day decisions where it's like, do you throw Tank Dell in? He's got a good matchup. Like at some point, having too many options can be a bad thing.
Yeah, I feel that. It can be a very frustrating thing as well. You have a lot of good options, and if he does lose games because of that, man, it's almost like, you know, you want to just take those, go get an elite guy and don't have to think about it, you know? I will say I was between Hayden and my pick for this league champion. To your point, I think his depth is wild. He has really good pieces in every spot. I think you could make an argument he's the favorite for the Chipotle division this year in a very stacked Chipotle division. So I know a lot of people will have their eyes on that. But my pick, and you know what? I'm almost going down narrative street here because my pick has gone through a lot, ladies and gentlemen. And yeah, his depth might not be the best. All right, don't look at the bench. But I could argue he has pound for pound the best starting lineup in this league. And listen, we don't guess injuries. We don't assume injuries. So I'm not going to assume injuries here. But my man, close but no Jamar. If you just look down his lineup, all right, Jalen Hurts, top three. Isaiah Pacheco, everybody loves him, right? Aaron Jones, you know, whatever. His running backs could be better. But, I mean, he literally, you could argue, he has three top five receivers in redraft. He has three top five receivers in dynasty. And considering we are a full PPR league, 10-team, it's those dynamite high-end players that win you games. I walk into a week with Tim. I'm praying that for whatever reason, the Cowboys and the Bengals have the same bye week or something. Because you're telling me I got to deal with CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase, and A.J. Brown every single week. Like, we get it. Hayden had a lot of great pieces. I have a lot of great pieces, right? But, like, when it comes to just elite, take off the top, break game players, there is not a better three-headed monster than Tim's roster out there. And you throw in the tight end one from last year of Sam Laporta. Like, come on, man. And, yeah, he's got Chris Godwin, which, Aaron, to your point, you have comeback player of the year. And like I said, you go down to the bench. It isn't horrible. You know, we like Zach Moss. We like Jordan Mason. I already told you I'm big on Roma Dunze this year. I wasn't at the beginning of the year, but then I watch Hard Knocks. I watch preseason. I watch how he's already mossing corners. Like, he looks really good. And then you have a sneaky DeAndre Hopkins. Is he going to be a top 10 guy? No. If he's healthy and play, is he not a top 24 guy? No. He's going to be in there somewhere, in my opinion. So, like I said, I also think the fantasy gods are going to be on Tim's side this year because Lord knows he needs it.
One of these days.
Lord knows he needs it. And I believe in Tim's ability to make waiver tweaks, little trades in the middle of the season. I think he's going to do enough to make the playoffs. And then it's in the playoffs, it's in God's hands. And I think he's due. Close but no Jamar is my champion pick. Aaron, I know you probably don't agree, but am I crazy?
No, actually, I really like the pick. I was between Hayden and Tim.
Oh,
so
okay.
Guys.
Yeah, I really like it. The only thing that prevented me from saying, because actually my championship game is Tim and Hayden.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And the only reason I think I chose Hayden is because I just, injuries happen every single year. It's tough to say, like, you go a whole season without it. And if Tim misses a piece or two here and there from his starting lineup, that's just enough for Hayden to overtake him.
If one of those big three I mentioned goes down, it's over. I'm sorry, Tim. It's over.
Hey, if one of the other top running backs goes down for somebody else's team, I got their handcuff. Over.
Yeah.
I already got their handcuff.
That's true. You do have a lot of running backs down there. You have a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And then I love how we say all this, and Anthony is just sitting in the back corner with Justin Jefferson and Christian McCaffrey chuckling to himself. Hearing all of our cute little reasons of why he's not going to win again.
Sam Darnold. Ugh.
But Sam Darnold. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Our official This League predictions. Who walks away with the nut? I'm going with Tim. He's getting right with the fantasy gods. Tim's going with your boy. I finally make it to the summit after just hanging out. And then Aaron going with Hayden. A lot of years at the bottom, but if Hayden wins, it is the perfect example of a rebuild, man. You just sell everything, get a lot of draft picks, and you turn it around, and you win the nut in like 3 years' time. That's how you do it. Shout out to Hayden. There you have it, our official predictions. Let's get out of here on this fairly lengthy show. As always, eventually, www.thisleaguepod.com, thisleague_pod, Instagram, and Twitter. Again, www.thisleaguepod.com is not quite active yet, but we will get it up there before the season, up to the second. Scores, waiver moves, trades, the whole nine yards. We'll have it for you there if you would like to follow along. Other than that, Tim, any announcements for the league before we sign out of here?
Pay your dues. Dues are due. The season is starting.
Pay your dues.
Hey, good luck.
And as always, I forgot we wanted to do this. If you just want to annihilate the like button, that'd be awesome as well.
You could just click it.
Or you could just click it. You could just click it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm signing out. I'm Chris. Football is almost here. Thursday, it's here. And we've made it. It's been a long off season, but you deserved it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm out. Love you guys.
Peace.
Go on, get it.
Popping with the church's Pentecostal candy painted. New Impala spinners on it, plus hydraulic. Nike sweatshirts, picking pockets small. Hopping, renting, copping, we ain't got no. And I'm just summer drive. I'm in my other drop. From beanies to buckets, $100 in my polo socks. Remember when summer drive? We was at Uncle Spot. Three with nothing to do but wrestle and slap box. Back when the summer drop, you would cut me for practice. By ninth grade, my 360 waves were splashing. Saving up the cash to get some food that's platinum. Fat boy with braces, A1s and glasses. When the summer drop, I wanted to make beats and rap. My big brother said I need the MPC for that. Next summer, I was cooking up a...